Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Rolling right along. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Can't play it, talk your number to call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. AB with your updates. Two down, hour left to play with. 6 to 9, 3 to 6 Pacific, Monday through Friday. Sirius 206, XM 206, Sirius XM app. Channel 206 as well. And coming up at 8:25 a.m. Eastern Time, 5:25 a.m. Pacific, we are going to talk to Gary Parrish, college basketball columnist and TV analyst for CBS Sports. He will join Taz and myself in a little more than 20 minutes from now. So looking forward to that. And we kick off this hour with the big news out in Indianapolis with OTAs going on all over the place. Who's there? Who isn't? But great news for the Colts, great news for the National Football League, Taz, that Andrew Luck threw a football. Now, it wasn't the Duke. It wasn't a regulation NFL football. It was a college ball, but he threw a football nonetheless.
Yeah, and I don't think it – not that it doesn't matter. The difference is, right, for those that don't know, an NFL ball's bigger.
Right.
So I just think it's nice to hear for him, for the Colts fans, you know, and for his family and, you know, for, like I said, himself – that is the motion, right? The throwing motion, that he can bang that out and do that. I have to say, first and foremost, I didn't think this would happen. I didn't think he'd be back. And I implied that heavily. I might have even said it. I can't recall. It was a while back on this show here, but on our show. But I'm surprised. Happily surprised for him. I ain't nothing against the guy. I'm not a Colts hater or nothing like that. But I'm just saying, I didn't think it was going to happen. But he's back.
Well, it's great. I mean, honestly, it's great for the Colts, Taz, and
it's good
great
for football.
It's great for the NFL.
Yeah, right.
It is, because star players are star players, star quarterbacks are star quarterbacks,
yes.
and he is that, and he's a franchise changer too. We've seen Indianapolis how irrelevant they've been without him, and where he is now. Hopefully, as he said yesterday, the goal is to be back throwing and ready to go come training camp, to go full bore at the start of training camp. Hopefully, indeed, that is the case. We're about, 6 weeks out from the start of NFL training camps? Think about that. And
it's
once
crazy,
training
man.
Camps get going, it's like downhill with the summer right into Labor Day weekend and the start of the NFL regular season.
Yeah.
So it is going to be pretty quick here as we get going with the National Football League and all the storylines. Taz, it's good for him because here's a guy that played hurt, that got banged up,
right?
That made guys around him better. The Colts did a terrible job, the past leadership, of building a team around Andrew Luck, right?
Yeah.
And he was a guy that certainly continued to take the football even when he was not even close to being 100% healthy in play. And then at some point in time, the body just gives way. At some point in time, you can't continue to throw with a torn labrum.
Sure.
You can't continue.
Impossible.
Right. You can't continue to play, continue to be the player you are. There's only so much your body's going to be able to do.
Mm.
So I think this respite has been good. Number one, they got a better general manager in there in Chris Ballard, right?
Yep.
He's been able to rest his body for a significant amount of time here. And as long as the shoulder is able to hold up, Taz, it is good for the NFL. It's great for Andrew Luck that I think the Colts are in a better position upon his return, and this team is in a better position based on the leadership that is now running it with Andrew Luck's return.
I completely agree with you, and he is great for the NFL. And, you know, this guy's a baller. He's a leader, and he's a star, to your point, as you said. He's also got a young star that's going to be protecting him named Quentin Nelson, who was an offensive guard out of Notre Dame, who was a sixth pick for the Colts in the first round. And there's been so much talk, including us, talking about how the greatness of this kid, Quentin Nelson, that's going to be protecting and watching the back and protecting Andrew Luck. That's got to give him some confidence, too, having Nelson there watching his back.
Oh, I think it's going to help him. And they've done a nice job addressing that offensive line. And hopefully, the one thing with Nelson Tas, hopefully, hopefully he lives up to the billing.
I think he
because
will.
Because he is.
He's good, man.
John Hannah. The comparisons for Quentin Nelson and Hannah is the ultimate comparison.
When I hear that name,
about
I'm like,
an NFL guard. Hannah was a monster at the guard spot for the New England Patriots. Yes. So hopefully that is indeed the case when you look at Quentin Nelson, as people thought he was probably the second best, cleanest prospect in the entire NFL draft this past April.
Absolutely. And you said they really fixed up that offensive line. They also brought a kid named Braden Smith in from Auburn, another guard. He's coming in. He's a rookie in the NFL, and so they're definitely putting the components around a guy like Luck to watch him, watch his back, protect him, let him be the great player he can be. Man, I'll tell you, he's Andrew Luck. You know, since coming in the league in 2012, he's had multiple years throwing the ball, throwing over 4,000 yards. He's a couple seasons for sure. I think like. One season, it might have been like 2014. He was close to throwing 5,000 yards. I mean, the guy's the real deal, you know? So once he gets rolling, man, forget it.
Yeah, let's head up to Buffalo next. And this has got to be music to your ears.
Oh, yes.
And that is LeSean McCoy.
Yes.
Who said that he's not a big fan of rookies. He said that in his career, the best rookie that he can think that he can remember, now this is his second team, Eagles and now the Bills, is Tre'Davious White, right?
Right.
And White has been a special player for Buffalo.
Sure.
And was a great rookie. But he said in reference to Josh Allen, got to be honest, he's pretty good. I'm not a big fan of rookies, but he's got a strong arm, very intelligent. He's smart. I tell him sometimes we have conversation. Hey, man, easy. This is not like an exam. Just talk to me. You can say, yo. You can say, what's up? But as a talent level, he's going to be really good for a lot of years. And I want to be a part of that when he takes over eventually. Took him early in the draft, so that's just common sense. But he's special, that's for sure. For a Bills fan, for LeSean McCoy, who's got nothing to gain one way or the other. He doesn't have to come out and talk up Josh Allen. Josh Allen's going to sink or swim based on what he does on the field, and that is still going to, in essence, be the case. However, Taz, for him to come out and make those kind of comments, I think is pretty intriguing. I think if you're a Bill fan, you're happy to hear it.
Absolutely. I am a Bills fan, and I am happy to hear it. And I'll tell you what it does, too. It tells me that when Josh Allen hears that, reads that, which he probably has already, obviously, it builds his confidence even more to know that not just a veteran but a great player on the squad in the NFL, like Shady, saying something like that about you, man, that's really got to make you feel special and get you that next level confidence-wise. So, yeah, man, I think that's great. And I do think Josh Allen's going to have a tremendous career in Buffalo. He's perfect for it up there. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing his career flourish, and hopefully he has a great one.
Yeah, and I think when you hear LeSean McCoy say when it's his time, it might not be his time year
which is
one.
Good. That's good,
right?
Though.
Which is fine. You can play the long game. The point is that when Allen's ready to take over, he takes over. He's ready to thrive and be successful.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and I think he will. We've talked about him a lot before the draft.
Got an unbelievable arm.
Power arm. Coming out of a program like Wyoming where it's like, all right, well, it's not Alabama. It's not Georgia. I get it. You know, but it doesn't matter. He has the intangibles, the size, the power. A lot of experts feel that, like I said earlier, Buffalo's a perfect spot for him. Playing up there in damn near like Alaska-type conditions, this guy can handle it. He's used to the cold elements and weather, coming out of a program like Wyoming. I just think the kid's going to be excellent. I think in the future, if you don't play much this year, so be it. I just think his future's super bright.
Let's head down to Baltimore we go next, and that is the reports coming out of their OTAs, and that is surrounding Lamar Jackson. Taz, we discussed Jackson a lot, right? We were both big fans of him at Louisville.
Yeah.
And he ends up being a first-round pick by the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco, been there, done that, won a Super Bowl, got paid by the Ravens, has disappointed since then, right? Now, here's the one thing with Lamar Jackson. During the draft process, he would not, when other teams asked him to run, he said, thanks, but no thanks.
I know, I remember.
When other teams asked him to line up at other positions, when they asked him if he would go through some wide receiver drills, he said, no, I'm a quarterback. I'm not doing any of that, right? interesting report coming out of Baltimore's OTAs is that Lamar Jackson reportedly has been lining up with Flacco at quarterback at other positions for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I find it interesting because he refused to do that during the draft process.
Yep.
Now, he gets drafted in the first round by Baltimore, right? They clearly have looked at him as their quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
But in the here and now, taking advantage of his athletic ability, you're going to line, you're going to potentially, say, put his body on the line, a guy that you value as being your future signal caller, and line him up at wide receiver if you indeed view him as just a quarter, as a quarterback?
No, I don't think you're going to do that. And there were reports. Strange. I can't remember who was it. Somebody from ESPN reported that. Who's the former GM that said that? Was it him that said that about him, that Lamar Jackson? Was it Bill Polian who said that? I think it was. I can't remember. Who am I talking about?
That Lamar, was critical of Lamar Jackson?
No, that said Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it was Polian.
It was Polian.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think on his show, on here, I kind of said, I don't agree with it. And I still don't agree with it. Even though the Ravens got him lined up as a wide receiver, I don't think it's a smart move. I'm with you. When I first heard about this, I started thinking about, remember what's his name with the Jets? Brad Smith. Brad Smith, right?
Yeah, Brad Smith.
I mean, they were doing something like that with him.
He was quarterback at Missouri. Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Right, but he was a late-round draft choice.
He was. No, I know.
He was not a first-round pick. You're right. I guess I look at it this way. Number one, Lamar Jackson. Now, you get drafted in the first round by a team. They ask you to line up a wide receiver. I don't think you're going to start to refuse what a team's asking you to do, right?
No, you can't. Not as a rookie.
You're not going to be doing that as a rookie, right? So, number one, so he's going to play nice with the Baltimore Ravens. Because eventually he wants to be the starting quarterback. I guess I would look at it this way. I know he's an unbelievable athlete, but so is Josh Allen, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not to the speed level. So is Sam Darnold's got some escapability. But would I take a guy that I view as my future franchise quarterback and conceivably put him at risk of throwing, say, a slant?
And he gets lit up by a linebacker.
He gets lit up by a linebacker and suffers a concussion.
Yeah.
Or I throw him a ball over the middle. He has to go up and get it. His leg gets caught in the wrong direction and suffers a knee injury or an ankle injury that puts him out. Would I be willing to do that if I indeed view that guy as my future franchise quarterback? I might do it if I view him as being the Cordell Stewart / he can do everything, can play quarterback, can play running back, can play wide receiver. That's the role he's going to fill for my team. But if I look at a guy, he's going to be my future when Flacco's done. Would I put him in that position?
No, and I don't think you want to. No, you wouldn't. And I don't think you want this kid, man, who had so much buzz about him that this kind of would happen. And then you kind of make him feel like he's a gadget guy. Like a gadget-esque type quarterback.
You're limiting him.
Offensive play. You are limiting it, and you can mess him with a young kid's confidence. This kid wasn't a senior out of college. This kid was a junior. He didn't complete college.
No.
He's a young guy, and his mother represents him and stuff like that. There was a lot of,
Heisman Trophy winner.
The whole nine, dude. This kid's got some resume, but I assume that the Ravens let him know this was going to happen. Beforehand. I don't think you want to blindside a guy like this.
Well, I would imagine they had that conversation. I guess, and he's going to handle it right, and he's going to do what Baltimore's asking him to do. I guess I call into question the leadership of the Baltimore Ravens, where I would not put a young quarterback that I have great value in, that I invest a first-round draft choice in, and line him up at multiple positions if I view him as being my future quarterback.
Oh, I mean, I don't think Baker Mayfield's doing that.
Right.
Think about that.
Right. Think about
that. He's athletic. He's quick.
Think about that this year, right? Imagine if they have Tyrod Taylor at quarterback and they're like, look who's lining up at wide receiver. Hey, it's Baker Mayfield. You're like, what, has Hugh Jackson lost his mind?
Is he crazy?
What are you doing here? Yeah. Keep him on the sideline until he's your starting quarterback. You're not going to do that.
No, man, you don't do that.
You're not going to do that.
I agree with you. I don't understand what they're doing now. Unless, who knows? Maybe they're trying to do some kind of a. Maybe they're trying to do some kind of, what do you call it?
Like a trick play.
Like a wildcat type scenario.
I just don't love it, Tess.
I don't either. No, I don't either. I mean, let the kid get galvanized in that spot. Let him get comfortable as a QB. Don't then add oxygen to some of that buzz that was out there about him that he's not really a quarterback. That's the problem with it. These are young guys. And then now it's like that stuff rents space in their head. Who's the OC there? Was it Marty, what's his name?
Morningway.
You're right. So you got to figure, he's behind that heavily, right? He's the coordinator.
I would imagine he'd play a role in it, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I would definitely think he's got a big say in that.
Or is it, let's get creative here?
Yeah, I mean, and the quarterback's coach has got to be either like, yeah, no problem, James Urban, or he's got to be like, no, don't do that.
It's good to be creative. It's bad to be dumb. And that's right. The point. You got to be smart with it. It's one thing, especially with you have to value the asset you have in Lamar Jackson and look at him as the player that he could potentially be as a quarterback full time.
I agree with you. I'm trying to think who else besides Brad Smith. We've seen this a little bit, right, in the NFL. But
Tebow,
right. He was what round was he in? I can't remember.
Well, Tebow was a first round draft.
He was a first round. My bad. That's right.
By Josh McDaniels when he was running Broncos.
It seems like eons ago, dude.
Right. It does.
Well,
it does.
If you look on the Baltimore Ravens website on their roster, they have
Antoine Randall L.
That's right. Another
for
guy.
The Steelers.
Good athlete.
Right. He was another
Lamar
one.
Jackson is listed as a quarterback on the roster. So that's a good sign for the kid. I mean, he is listed as a QB if you go on their website, so you know.
We're going to talk to Gary Parrish. We're going to do that next. College columnist, covers college hoops for CBS Sports. We're going to chat with him, talk a little bit about the NBA draft. Taz and the Moose with you, rolling right along here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, you can help elect Jim Rome to the National Radio Hall of Fame. Voting now open. There are two easy ways to do it. Either cast your vote at radiovote.com or dial short code 96000, right? And text the message 800. Standard message and data rates may apply. So there you go. Help get Jim Rome into the Hall
of Fame. Yeah, that's what everybody's trying to get that done for Big Jim.
Would be a well-deserved honor.
I really would. What does he always say? What's the
jungle?
No, there's not a line Jim Rome has. What's the line he says?
Clones?
No, not clones.
What's up?
What is up? Right.
What is up?
I've heard Al Dukes do that. Al Dukes stole that from.
Yes,
correct. Wow,
nice. He's good job, mimicking Al. Him. Yes,
yeah, got it. Al Dukes, just a mere producer here locally in New York for those national fans.
Correct. Produces the wildly successful Boomer and Geo show.
A mere producer, I called him. Yes.
So, he's got a good. He's got a podcast out as well.
Speaking of podcasts, yeah, you could download Wrestling
Al's
Fans, the Taz
tweets.
Show, the Taz Show. Why don't you promote my podcast and not Al's? Is Al promoting our podcast?
I'm sure he would if we asked him.
No, he wouldn't. Boomer Esiason would not have that.
He's retweeted.
Boomer would slap him.
Go. I'll lay
Boomer
out
would
for
not
you.
Have that.
This is Boomer Esiason.
The Taz Show promote.
Yes, did a little thing, a little top. Top women, top 13 women in wrestling right now. We did a top men's last week and top women. Wow, take two. Women in wrestling. Mikey B's just laughing like it's the funniest thing he's ever heard because I stuttered my words.
That's right.
Well, you got it. Top women wrestlers right now, mid-year of 2018, in the wrestling business today. So go to Apple Podcasts, check
nice.
That out. AB, you have your hand raised for 1 second. Pete the Body, you are the resident wrestling fan here. Have you listened to the latest podcast?
That will be happening today.
Okay, that a boy. Good job.
Sure it is.
AB, can I help you?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Taz. So before I download and listen, why 13? Does that number mean anything?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
It's his number
from
wrestling. It's his number from wrestling. We got a guest coming
up
here.
Moose.
That's all right.
We have a guest coming up.
So it's a special number for
it
you?
It is. Just do a Google search.
Yeah.
All right.
No, you could just go on YouTube.
AB, take
in,
it away.
Here's your report brought to you by the Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol's finally making razors. Well, that was a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. Take that, Morocco. The North African country losing its bid to host the 2026 World Cup. FIFA members instead choosing North America, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The first joint bid ever to be chosen. 60 of the 80 games will be on American soil, including everything from the quarterfinals onward. The final will be at MetLife Stadium in Jersey. There was a Rob Gronkowski trade rumor last week. There was a Rob Gronkowski trade rumor response yesterday.
This shows how much fake news is out there. Hashtag fake news.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
The rumor was Bill Belichick wanted to trade Gronkowski with offers from the Niners and Titans, but Tom Brady threatened to retire, so Bob Kraft said no way.
I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash.
that I vetoed some trade. That was never in the works. It's just completely made up.
Mm-hmm. Kraft speaking last night at an event for the charity named for his late wife. 10 homers and 30 RBI in April for Yankee shortstop D.D. Gregorius, just 1-6 since then.
And then last night.
There's the payoff. Swung on, drilled to right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. Second homer of the game. Yes, indeed. Oh, this is the dawning of the age of Gregorius.
Here he goes.
John Sterling, Yankees Radio. Two solo shots for Didi and a 3-0 decision over the Nationals.
Never ends.
Tigers first baseman Miguel Cabrera is done for the year. He tore his left biceps tendon on a swing in last night's 6-4 loss to the Twins. Cabrera will have surgery later this week. And while no official inquiry or objection has been lodged yet, today is the first time Belmont's three stewards will be together since Justify's Triple Crown win Saturday. Some have objected to the run of stablemate restoring hope. One of those stewards says they will discuss things today. Guys,
well, amazingly enough, the other day it was like, I'm no harm, no foul. What are you guys looking at?
I know, right?
I mean, so what, restore? Giroux rode the horse like he was drunk. I mean, who cares? You can't make it up with the stewards. You really can't. Anyway, let's welcome aboard right now Gary Parrish, a great columnist, college hoops analyst for CBS Sports, joins us now. Gary, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Oh, you kidding? It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Gary. Let's start here, and certainly the NBA, and then we'll get in your thoughts about the draft, which is just 8 days away, and some of the collegiate prospects out there and what your thoughts are in terms of who should go number one overall, best guy that's going to transition, most impactful player. What's your take, and certainly on what the Warriors here have been able to accomplish? You know, some have questioned whether it's a dynasty because they added Durant a couple years ago. It's almost, an embarrassment of riches, but it's still a great accomplishment nonetheless.
No question. I think when you win three championships in a 4-year span with mostly the same guys, with the same head coach, that qualifies as a dynasty for me. I know Durant has been the MVP of the finals each of the past 2 years, but it's still not crystal clear to some that he's actually the most important player on that team. I think there's still a lot of data that suggests Steph Curry is the most important to making that thing work and that he is still the face of the franchise. And given that he's now got 3 rings again in a 4-year period, it's a dynasty. And depending on what LeBron does next season, where he plays and with whom, they could be ready to go 3 in a row and 4 in a 5-year period, which is just remarkable given that, you know, this, quote, super team wasn't built the way most super teams have traditionally been built. I know that they got Durant via free agency and that it put the league in a weird spot, but, you know, 3 of their top 4 players and the top 3 on the original team that won the championship, they were drafted all lower than they probably should have been. So that front office, those executives deserve a lot of credit because they built this mostly through the draft so well in that way that when the time came, they were able to lure, you know, arguably the best scorer in the world in Kevin Durant.
Well, well said, Gary. And speaking of LeBron, so that's the million-dollar question, right? Does he end up in Philly? Does he stay in Cleveland? Does he go to the Lakers? Now we hear, well, he doesn't like the city of Houston. Who knows? You know, what happens with LeBron, in your opinion?
I think there's 2 ways to look at it. What should he do if his sole focus is trying to put himself in a position to win a championship next year and over the span of the next few years? And then, like, what will he likely do? Let's start with the first. I mean, with the latter, rather. It seems likely that he's going to go to the Lakers. It seemed likely for about a year now. People have been discussing it for a while. The Lakers have been preparing for this moment, moving contracts around, trying to clear space for multiple max contracts so they can not only tell LeBron, you can come here, but you can bring whoever you want to bring with you. And so is that Chris Paul? Is that Paul George? It seems like it's headed that direction. He, and I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, already has a residence there. He spends his off seasons there. He has business interests there. And for somebody who is trying to be everything he's trying to be, being in the entertainment capital of the world makes a lot of sense. And then, let's just say for the sake of the conversation, it is Paul George who comes home to L.A. And now you're trotting out there LeBron James, Paul George, assuming the Lakers stay mostly intact, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, perhaps Julius Randle. I'm not saying that's going to put them in a position to be favored over Golden State, but it's a better supporting cast by a significant margin than what LeBron was just operating with in Cleveland. And while I know we just watched a sweep, game one could have gone either way. Game three could have gone either way. If after three games in that series, Cleveland was actually up 2-1, like, we were very close to that. It took unbelievable performances by Steph and Kevin to get that done. And then JR not knowing the score, George Hill missing a free throw. Again, I'm not trying to redo the finals, but the sweep suggests something that the actual individual games do not. So yeah. If you're LeBron James, I think you can reasonably say, give me Paul George, give me Kyle Kuzma, give me Brandon Ingram. Lakers can probably do some moves to get some other pieces, get a vet minimum who just wants to come play with LeBron. Like, I'll take a shot at Golden State with those guys. I was competitive with them with these other idiots. I'll take a shot with these guys.
Well,
so that's what I think. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to, it's interesting, Gary, because I've never been in that situation, right, in terms of obviously of being in a LeBron situation. He's had some time to think about it. He was asked about it after game four. Do you think LeBron knows? Do you think LeBron is, it's obviously not out, but he's going to go through the dog and pony show. Do you think it's likely the Lakers, the most likeliest destination? Do you think he has a good understanding of what he would like to do?
Yes. He's too smart not to. If the whole world's thinking about this, it flies in the face of common sense to think he's not also thinking about this. Like, why are you and I spending more time thinking about LeBron than LeBron is thinking
about
LeBron?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So I think he has a good sense. I'm not sure he can't be moved in a different direction. But I think he might not know exactly what he's going to do. I think he probably knows exactly what he's not going to do. And so the list that you hear are pretty elaborate. Philadelphia, Boston, Houston, Lakers, Cleveland. I bet you his list isn't quite as long as everybody else's list. But I do think ultimately, for all of the reasons I just stated, the Lakers are the destination. Now, I'll say this. If he was focused strictly on where's going to give me the best chance to continue to add to my Wikipedia page, I'd opt into the contract and orchestrate a deal.
Yes.
Orchestrate a deal to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, well, and that would be fascinating.
And here's how it would go down. People would say, why would Cleveland do a deal with Boston? Well, because the alternative is losing LeBron for absolutely nothing. Like, if LeBron goes to the Lakers, you get nothing. He's just going to go via free agency, and you get nothing in return. If he asked you to allow him to opt in, and then Cleveland and Boston already work a deal, you could theoretically, and this again, just for the sake of the conversation, let's say Boston sends Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, and a future number one to Cleveland. Well, now you're at least getting something back. And suddenly, if you're the Celtics, you're trotting out a starting lineup, theoretically, of Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, LeBron James, Al Horford. That's three players that were all-stars in 2018. LeBron James, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving. LeBron, best player on the planet, two of the best rising stars in the world, and maybe the best coach in the NBA right now in Brad Stevens. And then the Celtics got so many draft picks. They could have as many as four in 2019 that they're going to continue to add talented pieces. It would allow, because they would clearly be the obvious favorite in the East, LeBron to extend his streak of Eastern Conference championships to 9. And then I'm not certain that a lineup of Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James, and Al Horford with Brad Stevens coaching them, I'm not certain I wouldn't pick them over.
They could be Golden
State. That could be the real deal right there for sure. No doubt about it.
So there's that. And obviously there's the Kyrie-LeBron dynamic. But if I'm Danny Ainge, and this is what I want to do, and it's what LeBron wants to do, I just tell Kyrie, hey, get on board or don't. You've got 1 year left on your contract.
Right.
Like, we could, and guess what? We can move you for a different piece. And Terry Rozier showed us in the postseason he could handle that. We think Terry Rozier and LeBron James being our primary ball handlers will be just fine.
So and Rozier is more durable. And Rozier is more durable. Yeah, yeah.
And that's the other thing. Kyrie is. There's been four times in his career where Kyrie Irving's team has been in the playoffs. Kyrie Irving hasn't played two of those times.
Yeah.
So if I'm Danny Ainge, I just tell Kyrie Irving what Cleveland actually should have told him last summer: get on board or don't get on board. But we're not, in Cleveland, they should have said, we're not moving you. You got 2 years left on your contract. In Boston, you can say, get on board and be a part of the Eastern Conference favorites, or tell us you're not, and we'll do our best to move you, but we'll move you wherever we want to. Maybe to Sacramento, if you think that's more a better situation for you. So I think that could be resolved.
Yeah.
Boston makes a whole lot of sense to me. I don't think it's likely, but from a basketball perspective, I absolutely love it.
Well, talking, Gary, about the NBA draft, we're on a cusp of it right here. So let's shift gears that way, man. So is it a lock or what that the Suns are going to go with DeAndre Ayton?
I think so. And, there will be a lot of talk between now and next Thursday about they're considering this and they're considering that. But ultimately, they're going to, turn in a pick to Adam Silver, and he's going to announce DeAndre Ayton. Most people believe that he's the clear-cut best prospect in this draft. He's an Arizona star. We're talking about the Phoenix Suns. It just I can't envision a scenario where they don't go that direction. After Ayton, now it could go a variety of ways, but I think we know already who the number one pick is going to be. It's going to be DeAndre Ayton.
You know, if you look at franchise-changing players, how many guys in this draft, Gary, next Thursday night, would you put on that list?
I think we could end up with maybe three, but I'm not sure exactly who they are. Sometimes it's pretty clear cut. Like, in the Kevin Durant, Greg Oden draft, Oden Durant were going 1-2 in some order, and it was going to be Oden Durant for most. And I know Oden is considered a bust, but his body failed him. If healthy, you go back and watch the championship game Greg Oden played in, he dominated Joakim Noah, Al Horford. He was going to be a star if not for his body failing him. This draft, I don't know that there's any guarantee stars. Like, Oden was a better prospect than anybody in this draft. Durant was a better prospect than anybody in this draft. I don't know that there's an Anthony Davis in this draft or a LeBron James in this draft. My point being, guys that you just know there's nothing that's going to prevent them from being a star other than injury issues. But there are stars in this draft. It's just we don't always know who they are or where they're going to be picked. If we did, there's no way Jason Tatum goes third. If we did, there's no way Donovan Mitchell goes 13th last year. But if you told me we're going to look up in 5 years and DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, and I'll just say Mo Bamba or Trae Young are all the best players on good NBA teams, that would not surprise me. I think the best part of this draft is that even if there's not necessarily a sure thing at the top, there's a bunch of guys throughout the lottery, at least 6, 7, maybe even 8, that you can reasonably get excited about might turn into, an all-star level guy. And I should add Michael Porter Jr. to that list if he's healthy, because a year ago he projected as a top three pick in this draft. So the best part of this is if you're picking even 6, 7, 8, you've got at least a shot in theory to get somebody special.
Well, Gary, you mentioned Trae Young, so there's been some scuttlebutt about, his size or lack thereof as far as, the skeletor of his body, the thickness that he has or doesn't have. Do you think that's going to affect him in the NBA? How do you think he'll fare in the NBA in general?
I like him, but I'm not ignorant to his measurements. Like, he's not built like a typical NBA player. I will say that at the same age, 19, he's bigger than Steph Curry was at 19.
Now,
that doesn't mean he's going to grow to where Steph Curry is, and Steph Curry is still small. So we'll see. But I could argue this one either way. His ability to create shots, make shots, see the floor, make passes, set up teammates. He led the nation in scoring and assists. And he did it in a power conference with mediocre teammates. I mean, he's got some stuff that I think is undeniable. But what scares me is that the people who believe in Trae Young, and I am one of them, we point to Steph Curry, and we don't suggest that he's going to be a three-time world champion and two-time MVP. Like, that's what you get asked all the time. Is he the next Steph Curry? Well, no, because I don't think he's going to win three championships. Most people don't. I don't think he's going to win two MVPs. Most people don't. I mean, Kobe retired with one MVP, I think. So, like, Steph Curry is in rare, rare company. But I do think he can do some of the things Steph does, and that's, you know, you have to make defensive guard him out to 30 feet, maybe even 35 feet, because he can shoot comfortably from out there. I think he's going to be able to create scoring opportunities for himself and others. The only thing that gives me pause is this. It reminds me a little bit about when little scoring guards would come out and people would say, well, he can be the next Allen Iverson. And this went on for like 15 years.
It did.
And the thing you would find out ultimately is that there's only one Allen Iverson. There's only one guy who can do that at his size. And I wonder if there's only one Steph Curry.
All right.
Trae Young looks like Steph Curry. He can do a lot of the stuff Steph Curry does. But are we going to find out there's just one Steph Curry? There's not two. That's what I'm fearful of.
I'm curious about a lot of people. Are you a Colin Sexton believer out of Alabama?
I would take Trae Young before I took Colin Sexton, but I would take Colin Sexton in the top 10 because he's built more like a modern NBA point guard. He's got a little better size. He's a better athlete. He's super aggressive, lightning quick with the ball. He certainly can't see the floor the way Trae Young does. He can't shoot the way Trae Young does. But in a league where, you know, point guards are asked to, by and large, just break your guy down, get to the rim, and create either for yourself or other people because nobody can stay in front of you, he is that kind of guy. You know, I don't know if he's Eric Bledsoe or John Wall, but he plays basketball in a super aggressive way and wants to put pressure on the defense every offensive possession. So I like him a lot. I think Trae Young's got a better chance of being a star if his stuff translates, but I think Colin Sexton, if this makes sense, might be the safer pick because there's just no way Colin Sexton's going to be overwhelmed physically. There is a scenario where Trae Young might be overwhelmed physically.
Hey, Gary, so what player, not getting too much hype right now, too much spotlight on him right now in this draft, that could be a steal late, hypothetically, let's say, in the NBA draft?
I would go with Josh Okogie from Georgia Tech, and he's a guy who is off most basketball fans' radars for a handful of reasons. He was not a McDonald's All-American coming out of high school. He wasn't even a top 100 recruit coming out of high school. Then he goes to Georgia Tech, and he's played on two very mediocre Georgia Tech teams in the past couple of years. You know, first one went to the NIT, second one went nowhere. So you didn't see him on national television a lot. He's not on any All-American teams. You never saw him in the NCAA tournament. But he's a 6'4 combo guard athlete with a 7-foot wingspan who shot 38% from three-point range in 2 years at Georgia Tech and took a lot. So it's not a small sample size number. That's a true reflection of his shooting ability. And so when you look at what everybody seems to want on the perimeter these days, you know, how do you figure out a way to beat the Golden State Warriors or teams like that? You kind of have athletes with length who can switch everything and then be shooters on the offensive end of the court. Well, he checks all of those boxes. And so I don't know whether he goes 22 or 32, but I bet you this, wherever he's picked, let's say it's 26, in 3 years you won't look up and go, there were 25 players better than him in the 2018 NBA draft. And another guy that's going to fit the same description, just in different ways, Jalen Brunson, you know, the National Player of the Year out of Villanova. He's probably going to go late first, early second, and I understand why. He's not a great athlete, doesn't have great size, but he reminds me a lot of Fred VanVleet, where he doesn't measure in ways that you like. He's not an athlete like you like, but he just knows how to play basketball, and he'll figure it out. Fred VanVleet went from undrafted to, you know, a high-level backup point guard for the team that won more games in the East than anybody else this season. He is up for sixth man of the year. I think Jalen Brunson, just like I said about Josh Okogie, wherever he's picked, when you look up in 3 years, you will know that he was better value than what people showed him on draft night.
Gary Parrish, columnist, CBSSports.com. Check him out on CBS Sports. Does a great job as an analyst. Gary, final one here, 30 seconds or less. Guy that you have the reservations about that's going to go in the first round, but you're not so sure that his game translates to the NBA.
Well, it's not a guy who's, I'm not sure, game translates to the NBA because a lot of stuff he does translate to the NBA. I'm worried about Jaren Jackson, who might go in the top five, He's a great prospect, but he's never been a great player. Like, Bagley was great in college. Ayton, great in college. Trey Young, great in college.
Good point.
Jaren Jackson played 21 minutes a game. So is he a great prospect, or is he a great player? We'll see, but there's a whole bunch of physical specimens who just flame out in the NBA, and I'm not certain he won't be the next.
Gary Parrish, wealth of information. Check out his mock draft on CBSSports.com. It's a tremendous, does a fantastic job locally down in Memphis as well. Hey, Gary, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, all
right? Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thanks for having me.
You got it. He's on CBS Sports TV, does a fantastic job. Taz and the Moose with you. Come back. We got some leftovers for you.
Jones.
Happy hump day. Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Tony in the Bay Area. Best spot to download the podcast, Taz?
Sorry, I was distracted looking at somebody's Twitter. That's basically at Apple Podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts. Moose, and I'll tell you what you can do, too. You go to Spotify and do that. And the way you get your podcasts, ladies and gentlemen, you can get Taz and the Moose for free every day, Monday through Friday, M through F, as we call it. And, it's great. So if you miss any part of the program here, you could basically, because it's a three-hour journey here every day. So you might miss some of it. Maybe you got to run to work. You're at the gym. You're on a elliptical machine. It's an exercise machine for cardio, Moose. Maybe you're doing something like that.
Familiar.
Okay. And maybe you got the kids running around the house. Mikey B's telling me we got leftovers, Taz. Hurry up. Yeah. Whatever. Don't worry, Mike. We'll get to your segment. Calm down. You're worse than Buwami. Calm down.
We might.
Yeah. And, so there's a lot of spots that you could download.
No doubt.
Taz,
well, there's a number of reasons.
Also, did
you
I
just
mention
went where you might be busy?
What's that? Excuse me?
There's a number of reasons where.
No, that's enough. I'm sorry.
What?
No, I'm looking at
don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros.
Yeah.
They go O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day.
Absolutely. So we got leftovers, I guess, right?
No.
I have one question for you.
All right, let's quickly.
Yeah, go.
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
I guess I was a little long-winded. You know, sometimes that happens, Moose. All right. Can't help myself.
Better shot to
I
knock
get a little
off.
Long-winded sometimes, and I just can't. That's just
better shot to knock off the Warriors. LeBron, Paul, and George in L.A., or LeBron, Kawhi, and Aldridge in San Antonio.
Just, you don't get the idea. Just what a knucklehead. Yeah, you answer it, Moose. Go ahead.
Run it by again. LeBron.
LeBron, Paul, and George in L.A., or Kawhi, Aldridge, and LeBron in San Antonio?
Kawhi, Aldridge, and LeBron in San Antonio.
Good job, Moose. You're the boy. You are the boy. You're the man, brother.
I'm the boy. Thank you.
That's my new thing.
Gary Parrish. Fantastic. Great job.
You're killing me.
Good fun. So, come on.
I'm sorry.
Happy Wednesday. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.